you see if you're ready to rock the house. I mean, you make some noise. Hey. Come on, tell the person that God. God is up to something. Come on, tell him.
Welcome to On One Accord with Carmen. I am your host, Carmen Miranda Thomas, and greetings to you. I send out peace, health, prosperity, and goodwill to all of you. Hope you had a great week, and this is the beginning of a new one, and we just give thanks to the Almighty, the Creator of all living things, and we give thanks knowing that God is always up to something good. There's not a day, moment, or a minute of an hour that he doesn't have our best interest at heart. Regardless to the chaos that's going on in the world, we may have a lot of personal problems going on within our own circle. But we should always realize that God is always up to something good. He's up to something good for the benefit of us all as a whole of a people. And then he loves us so much that he knows about us even down to the very hairs of our head are numbered. And so sometimes we may think that we are just a little spot in a multitude of people that's crying out to God or waiting for God for deliverance or for one thing or another. Sometimes we may feel that we are forgotten, but the word tells us and reassures that he loves us all. Each and every one of us are not forgotten. We all have a purpose here. He has given us all individual talents, whether we are using them or have even recognized them, because some of us have hidden talents that's back there that we need to pray and ask God to bring them to the forefront. Let us realize the talents that he's instilled within us to use to bring glory to him. So this morning, sisters and brothers, I ask you to join with me on one accord in giving thanks to him and his glory, his mercy, his grace. So will you join in with me, all of those of you that believe in the power of the blood that Jesus shed for us, his resurrection power to bring us out of anything or any problems that we face because he paid for it up on Calvary, regardless to how long we may have to wait to see the manifestation of something that we are waiting to see, the deliverance or breakthroughs or healing. Let us realize that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, giving thanks to you, O God, for blessing us with this gift of a new day that we are awakened in the land of the living with a sound mind and with the use and activity of our limbs and faculties. O God, we thank you for our loved ones, those that's near to us and those that's afar, from the youngest to the oldest. We thank you for keeping us all under the shadow of your almighty wings, protecting us from all harm and unforeseen danger. Oh God, we thank you for continually keeping that hedge around us from the forces of evil. And we come with a humble, repentant heart, asking your forgiveness for our sins, those that's confessed and those that's unconfessed. For every word, thought, and deed that we render towards you, ourselves or each other, asking you to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, O God, and ask that you strengthen us, that each time that we speak of the deeds or the words that we speak or the acts that we make, that let it all be for your glory. And, O God, we pray for the peace of all nations, including Jerusalem and Israel. We give thanks that, O God, we come to you knowing that you are the one and only God, that we come and ask your strength to strengthen us, and we humbly surrender ourselves to you and ask you to have your way with us. Help us to get self out the way and let that peace begin with each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray and give you thanks. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers, it's just a time now that it seems that the word says that there in the last days will be so much wickedness upon the earth. But we as believers have to stand together in these last days, that the word says some of God's very elect will be tempted and fall back. So this is a time now to become more prayerful than ever. It's a time to come and just rededicate ourselves, become a watchman at the gate of our words and thoughts. I'm the author of a little book titled, As a Man Thinketh in His Heart, So Is He, which can be purchased through Amazon or from the publisher, Infinity Publishing. But the little book holds a lot of information in it as to how we can allow ourselves to even joke ourselves into disasters because we have not yet realized the power of our words. And from those words come the thought first, and then it's spoken. You know, as I just said, some of us can actually joke, and then we'll turn around and wonder and say, well, you know, I was only kidding, and you see that came to pass, or you see that happen, and I was only joking. But our inner mind, that subconscious, does not know anything about joking. It takes what we say is true and begin to work it out into the outer world, the outer plane. And so a perfect example of what I'm speaking of is the show that we all watched for so many years, and the comedian would just put his hands over his heart and say, here come the big one, I'm coming to join you, honey. And actually, we all maybe laughed about it when it actually happened. I wonder how many people actually looked at the depths of it and looked at that a little deeper when he actually had the big one and went on to join whomever he kept talking about. But the lesson to be learned from that is that our mind, our subconscious does not know anything about joking. So when he kept joking about the big one, here it come, I'm coming to join you, honey, I'm coming, here it come. And when we actually saw that happen in real life, we may have just thrown it off as a laugh and said, well, oh, he really did have a big one. But it's so much deeper than that, that it actually happens as true. And we can joke ourselves, and then we can turn around and use that for our good also. The things that we speak, we will eventually see the manifestation of them. So you may wonder and just say, well, just who am I? You're a divine creation from the Almighty Creator, and he made us so unique. He created us with free will, some of people say, well, why did God allow that to happen? He could have made us where we just would have been just like robots, really, with just moving from his own command. But he created us with free will, and we was created in such a unique way. And when we look at this and say, well, just who am I? We go back and think about Moses. He asked that same question in Exodus when God petitioned him to go back to Egypt to rescue the children of Israel from the Egyptians. And we're going to read a little bit here in verse the third chapter, beginning with verse 11. And Moses came to God, and Moses asked God, said, well, who am I that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, God said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the children out of Egypt, you shall serve God until this upon this mountain. And then Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Tell them that I am sent you. And when Moses goes before Pharaoh, that's exactly what he said. I am. And so when we say I am, we are attaching the very name of God to whatever you say I am is, whatever you say about yourself. If you say I am sick, that I am will manifest more and more. You may be sick, but you have attached God unto that sickness because that is the name of God, I am. When you say that I am getting better, or things will get better, the conditions will get better, I am going to see a better day, you have attached God to the very name that you're speaking about. You have attached God to that. So the same, it works the same way whether you attach God to your downfall or to your uprising. When we say I am, remember, it's, you're talking about much more than self. That's the very name of God, I am. So when, what about when people say, well, I'm fatter, I'm uglier, I'm not going to succeed at this? It goes the very same way. You're saying that God is ugly when you say, I am. Again, you have attached the name of God. That's exactly what he told Moses. He didn't give himself any other names other than I am. And when Moses left and went before Pharaoh, that's all he had to work with, was saying that I am the God of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am has sent me. And Moses was standing there. Pharaoh didn't see anyone else but Moses. So the I am in God was there. He had sent him, and God told him, certainly I will be with you. So I am, when we attach it, certainly God is with us. Just said it in the word. Certainly. Most certainly I'm with you. So we have to begin to attach the I am in ways that you would like to see the great I am manifest. I'm healthy. I'm wealthy. I'm victorious. I'm good at this that I'm doing. I am successful. I am going to have a safe and prosperous trip. I am the great I am. Need to exercise that more with caution, because always remember, when you use the I am, you're speaking on yourself, but yet keep in mind that it's more than self. God said, I will certainly be with you. I am certainly with you. I am certainly with you. So we're never detached. There's never a separation from God. A lot of people think that there's a separation. We're praying to something outside of ourselves. We're trying to connect with something outside of ourselves. The very breath we breathe is God's. So how can we be detached? We can never be detached from it. You know, there's a story that goes like this, where a minister had died and he went to heaven, and he came to the gates. He came to the gates, the pearly gates. And God came to the gate and asked, who was he? And he said, this is Pastor so-and-so. Don't you remember me? I did this and that. God said, go away. I don't know you. I have no place for you. He went back and he pondered years, many, many years. He couldn't figure out of all of his good works and the good deeds that he done, that God didn't recognize him. So he goes back again. And God asks him, who is he? And he said, don't you know me? Can't you remember all the things I've done? I'm Pastor so-and-so. God said, go away. I have no room for you here. So he goes back, and this time he goes a little deeper within himself. And he pondered and he thought about it. So when he went back the third time, God said, who's there? He said, thou art. God opened the gates and said, come down in. There never was any room for you and me. So what that means is that the man had separated himself from God. He thought that he was one person and God was another. Great power separated away from himself. So the answer to that was, God was letting him know when he said there was never room for you and I. It would meant that we are God's highly handiwork. He made us in the image and likeness of him. The very breath, as I said, we breathe is God. There's no separation. You can never say that we are here and God is somewhere else. We can never get away from God, because the very spirit resides in us. So there's no getting away, up, down, under, over, or beyond. The I am is the great I am within us. And I hope you're understanding this, dear hearts, this morning, that when you begin to use I am, take caution in knowing that that I am is attached. It has a great attachment, not a detachment, but it has a great attachment when you say, I am. Always use it in a great positive way of accomplishing, moving up, lifting yourself up, lifting others up, but using that I am in a great godly way, and we will begin to see some changes made when we begin to turn things around and put that godliness within us at all times. Use it. It's there. But begin to use it and see the things that will begin to manifest in your life. So I pray this morning that the I am has given you a little insight on how to begin to take caution of using that I am. I am this and I am that, and if you're doubting yourself all the time. And God does not want to see that, because when we are downing ourselves, we're downing the God within us. That's why even as a child, it was just instilled in me. I don't know. Psalms 27:10 say, when your mother and father forsake you, then the Lord will take you up. So I believe that's what happened to me. I had a very early acceptance of God at an early age, and it was something that wasn't forced on me. I loved it, because I guess I was being prepared for what I needed for the road that was ahead. So even as a kid, I was not able to ever call anyone ugly. I just have never been able to fix my mouth to say that about anyone. The society may look on certain people and they may not be attractive, and the word ugly comes out. But I have never been able to call anyone ugly, because whomever that person is a creation from the Heavenly Father. He created them, and he had them to look exactly the way he wanted them to. So there's no ugly in my vocabulary, because as society may look at it, the most unattractive person can be so beautiful within. And that is what you look at. That is exactly what God told Samuel when he went looking for David to anoint him. He's looking for a strong, big, vibrant man. But when he saw that boy over there, the shepherd boy attending the sheep, he could not believe that this was the kid that God had chosen. But God told him, man looks at the outwardly appearance. I look at the heart. And that is what is sad to say, but that's how society is set up today. Appearance. People want young, pretty-looking girls in the office, or handsome men doing this, so they say. That's the way they look at it. And so we live in a society that's truly judgmental from your outwardly appearance. And as I said, ugly, I guess there's a place for it somewhere. But as far as your ways, yes, you can look just like you stepped out of a Glamour magazine. But your ways can be so ugly that cannot even be noticeable. So it is a place for ugliness, yes. It's a person acting ugly. As my grandmother always taught me, like I said, she laid the foundation for me early. And she used to tell me, pretty is as pretty does. So regardless of how pretty you may think you look going out there around others, it's how you act. It's what's coming from the inside. So I'm going to take a little break right now, and I'll be right back. I hope you stay tuned in. I love you, and I'll be right back shortly. Welcome back to On One Accord. I'm your host, Carmen M. Thomas, and I'm welcoming you back, and we are talking about the I am within us. The great I am is more than us talking about ourselves. it has a great attachment to the name of God. We are actually attaching God to the I am whenever we use that. So I am is the name of God. That is exactly who he told Moses to say to Pharaoh when he went before him. I am, no one else, but I am. The I am God will certainly be with us with in whatever we attach the I am to, because that is his name that we have attached ourselves to. So we can expect to see whatever we attach our I am to, and we can see the manifestation of it, because God is working right there on our behalf when we attach the I am. So as I say, let's begin to pay a close attention to how we use the I am. Let's not use it in anything opposite from his word and his will. The best way to even pray is to pray in the will of God. Get a passage from the Bible that relates to your situation and just use that in your prayer. And that's praying in the will of God. And you will see the manifestation of it. So, dear hearts, let's use the I am in a great way that we can look back and see the results of our using the I am. Let's use it more often in a more positive, godly way. Let's use it more often in a more positive, godly way. And we can see the results of the good fruits, the harvest. So, dear hearts, the I am is not to be used to down-low ourselves, downside anyone else. But I am well. I am getting better. I am able to afford this. I am able to go on that trip, because even if you don't see a way, when you attach the I am to it, and that's the very name of God, a way will be made where there seems to be no way, no things happening. You can't see any evidence or anything, but when you attach the I am, we become very connected. That's a very close attachment. And we can't help in time to see the manifestation. Because I hate to keep using this, but this is such a great example. I am having the big one. And it was the reason I'm using it is because it was nationwide. So many people, I'm sure, can relate to that. And then we look around and see the manifestation of it. That's just one occasion. We can probably look within our own circle and see the great I am, what it has manifested for us in the ways that we have used it. If you used it negatively, I'm sure that you can look back and think and see the things that has manifested from you using it negatively. If you've used it godly, I'm sure you can relate to the things that have came forth from you using it. So we have to become a watchman at the gate. And I would like to mention, a lot of times I'm sure some of you may say, well, I said I'm a author of a little book, or as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and a licensed clinical Christian counselor. But I sound more like a minister. Well, I was right at the door of becoming ordained as a minister. I did everything it took to become the minister. Everything was all set to go. Even the invitations had been sent out. for the ceremony and everything, and I declined because I didn't feel, I mean, right up until the last, I kept having some feelings about this. Like, I really don't feel like that's my calling, to be a minister, to minister a church, because one lady told me, and it hadn't been that long ago, she was like, Miss Carmen, you need your own church. But I really don't see myself pastoring a church, because I really like I like dealing one-on-one with individuals. I really like giving that person my undivided attention, and a minister really can't do that. I'm doing exactly what I love to do right now. This is my passion. It's airing, broadcasting over the radio, and counseling, sending out words of encouragement, standing in agreement, affirmative prayer with you, and just doing all I can. And on an individual basis, that's what I like. So as I said, I got right at the door of my ordination, and I declined, and I went straight into gospel radio after declining from, because I said to myself, I don't have to be a minister to do what I want to do. So I went on gospel radio for 5 days a week, and it was only 15 minutes a day, and it was 5 days a week. And after that, I became into writing my little book, and went on into the study of becoming a Christian clinical counselor, ministry of counseling. But I know that it takes that foundation before you can solve any problem, and God is the foundation. That's why I say, I ask people when they first began to talk to me, what is your relationship with God? Because if we are trying to build our house on sand, which is trying to do everything other than that foundation, when the storms of life come at you, you're going to crumble, because you have no foundation. It's sad to say, but that's why so many programs that's out there doesn't work. They keep coming back and coming back. They said they've gone through so many programs, but truly, until they come to a acceptance, a knowing that they can't do it on their own, which means that they got to have an intervention from God, asking him for his strength, and asking them to give them a mindset and a will to repent and have a solid made-up mind without being double-minded. That is when the deliverance comes. So as I said, even with the counseling, you have to have a foundation, and that foundation, if you're not working on the strategies of God, it's going to crumble. Nothing up, down, and around and under. We cannot get around. God is the answer. Jesus saves, and he paid a price for our salvation. So instead of running from it, run to it. The great I am in you, well, you have all of the tools that you need to work with. It's when you go before the throne, knowing that the great I am resides in you, and that you will be delivered, because it's already been guaranteed. it's been guaranteed up on Calvary because it was paid for with the price of Jesus' precious blood. So I know that sometime I may sound like a minister behind the pulpit, but that's just my that's my calling, is to speak the word of God regardless of what capacity I may be in. And this is it right here for me, is radio, not behind a pulpit. This is my calling. This is my passion. And when you write me and request the songs, and I've been getting requests for those songs, and as soon as I receive the request, I send them right back out. God will give me exactly the song you need. I go into prayer and ask him to lead and guide me and direct me and give me the wisdom to pass on to you the knowledge that you need from the power of song. So I'm just overjoyed to see that the requests are coming in for the power of song. And I would like to also hear your testimony when you see the answer to the things that you're writing for. When you see things beginning to change, I would like to hear from you also, because when I send those songs out to you, a lot of them have instructions as to what you need to do pertaining to the song that you're requesting. And I am without a shadow of a doubt, if you follow those instructions that come with the song, you will see a difference. Things will change regardless of what situation, because some are writing for some things and some are writing for others. But whatever it is, like I told you before, that is a song, and it's just, it's nothing really magic about the song, but it's just so amazing to know that these 150 songs relates to anything a person may go through in this life, anything, and there is a song for it. And as I said, some of them have instructions with them, the things that you have to do while upon reading them. They even tell you sometimes how many times to read them, what type of, if they want you to copy them on, you may even be requested to copy a song on a sheet of paper. But whatever it is, the instructions are, whatever the instructions are, I am sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that you will see great results. And it's nothing but the word of God. There's nothing to be fearful about. It's nothing that anything a person may think that's all bogus, and it's the book of man is in it and all this kind of stuff. This is the word of God. These 150 songs are found in your Bible, the book of songs. But as I said, they are for so many different purposes. And I would like for you to write me if you need one of them for a specific thing, or if you need more than one specific things in your life. You may have several things that's going on that you may need a song for, different situations. So write me and request them. And there is never a charge. You may send a donation if you so desire, but there is never a charge for me standing in agreement with you of affirmative prayer. There's never a charge of me asking you. I wouldn't dare to ask you to send a donation just because I'm sending you a song with the instructions in it. No, I would never do that. So I'm asking you this today that if you need a song, affirmative prayer, because the word tells us to pray for one another. Lift up the Christ within each other. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. So it's good to have someone praying with you. And not just anyone, but someone that truly believes in the word of God and the power of his might, his everlasting love for us, his tender mercies, and his loving grace. I don't know whether any of you ever watched Joel Osteen, but last Sunday, I flipped on the channel and caught him. Just flipping through the channels because I just turned over to a new service that I really haven't gotten familiar with. All of the stations that I had before, they are different. So I flipped through and saw him, and I just stopped there. But he spoke on grace, and I'm telling you, if he don't never speak another speech, he put it together last Sunday, sisters and brothers. Joel Osteen spoke on grace, and I mean it was beautiful. Because just as he said, grace is promiscuous. Promiscuous, you know, means that a person would just go out, they loose, they'll just have anybody, any old thing. And that's how he said grace is. That's why he said grace is amazing. Oh, it was so good. It was so beautiful. But God is right there for us, for our good, sisters and brothers. He is right there. As Joel said, grace is so promiscuous, it will just run behind anyone. I don't care how much dirt you've done in your life, how down in the pit you may think you are. You could be in the gutter, grace will find you. Oh, it was just beautiful how he put it together. And that's what I'm saying to you today. Begin to put that I am to great work for you in your life. I am beautiful. I am successful. I am lifting up yourself and others, the great I am. Begin to lift up the God in you. Because he's there. He's up to something good all the time. Not just a day or two. He's not like us, moody. You may speak to me today and tomorrow I may not answer the phone. You may come to my house today and may not open the door for you tomorrow. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And grace is actually running behind you, trying to catch you. The great I am is right there. Begin to lift the God up in you. God is probably, why is they doing me like this? Calling me ugly, calling me fat, calling me lazy, calling me no good, calling me poor, never going to prosper, never going to do anything. Why are they constantly talking about me like this? Because when you talk about yourself like that, that I am, you most certainly is talking about God. So I'm not going off and not remembering what I was there talking about at first. It's that I just wanted to throw that in about Joel, because I did say I was going to mention that today. Oh, God, was that put together. And I'm going to try my best to get that tape if I can on grace. Oh, my goodness, you need to hear it. So, again, as I said, if you would like to write me to request anything, prayer, a specific song, to tell me about the show, it doesn't matter what it is. But give me I even have a phone number for you today. But I'd like for you to write me at On One Accord with Carmen at P.O. Box 360-165, Decatur, Georgia, That's DECATUR, Decatur, Georgia, at 30036. My email is CarmenThomasMitchell@yahoo.com. All one word, low cap. CarmenThomasMitchell@yahoo.com. CarmenThomasMitchell@yahoo.com. My phone number, if you would like to speak to me directly on, this is the On One Accord personal line. It is 678-515-7539. Again, that's 678-515-39. I would love to hear from you. I would love to, and I guess I'm old-fashioned. We have the technology, and we're living in a technology world. And it's convenient, and I love it. I love my internet. I love all of it. But there are some things that I'm still a little old-fashioned about. After all, I'm 65 years old. So, I mean, I've been around for a while. But I still like letters. I really do. Now, you can contact me whichever way you wish. But I just, as they say, I got mail. I love mail. I like letters. I like postcards. I like requests to be written on letters. I really do. But it's not, I'm not asking you to do that exclusively. If that's what you like, is to contact me through email, by all means do so. If you would like to call to hold a conversation with me and talk to me, by all means use this phone number, 678-515-7539. But again, as I said, I really do like mail for you to send me a request for one of the songs that you need, or several songs, which whatever way is things going for you. And you can write me and send a request in through mail. And again, I hope you have that number, which is On One Accord with Carmen at P.O. Box 360165, Decatur, Georgia, 30036. It's been great talking with you all today. I look forward each and every week, as I said. This is my passion. I have had several people that have told me that I needed to be in a church, but I really, that's not my calling, and I went all the way through this, and I to the point of, like I said, only really hours, I would say, away from going through the ceremony, but I declined from it because I just didn't feel that was my place to be. But the studying and all, I went through the studying and all very in depth, but as I said before, a person need to have an ear open and know the calling that they get from the Lord, other than going out there trying to do some things on their own just because they feel like they can do it. I was in church, at a church once, and a pastor had said that his previous job was driving a truck. And he kept seeing pastors on TV when he said, "Well, I can do that. You know, I'm going to go on and get me some money together and open me a church. I can do that." But see, that's not what I wanted to do. Just because you feel like you can do it, I want to call it from the Lord. This is what you need to do, not something that I want to do. And see, that's my daily prayer, is keeping self out the way. Let me get self out the way and do your will. So again, their hearts, as I said, I'm in my true place, and that is being on the air, speaking out words of encouragement to you, lifting you up in prayer, and doing what I can as the Lord blesses me to become a blessing to you. That's my prayer. That's my passion. I love you, and my time is getting close to go off. I look forward to being with you again next week. You have a wonderful, wonderful week. My prayers will be with you as always. And I pray for each and every one of you peace, health, prosperity, and goodwill. Until we meet again next week, I love you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Come on, put your hands on it here. You can have peace. In the middle.
In the middle of the storm, you know. Joy's coming in the morning time.
The Bible declares, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth.
You know.
Shall ye not know it?
In the morning time.
He goes on to say, I'll even make a way in the wilderness.